We do appreciate so much all of you that are here today. We have a number of visitors, people from other places, and we're delighted and elated that all of you have chosen to come and be with us on this occasion. You know, Memorial Day is certainly a great time for us to think about those who have given so much in our world to preserve the great freedom that we have, not only in America, but in other places around the world, and how appropriate it is for us to gather to pay tribute to the great banner that waves over us today. That's why we exalt our flag. It waves out in the front of our building every day along with the Texas flag. But when I think about all of those people who have given so much in terms of death itself, they may be lost in one way, but they are not forgotten. We remember them. We honor them today. And in the book of Romans, the 13th chapter and verse 7, the Bible says that we're to give respect unto those to whom it is due. Honor to whom honor to whom it is due. And so we believe that it is appropriate for us to honor those brave men and women who have given their lives for the ongoing great freedom of our world in America. You and I live in the greatest land in all of the world. Many parents today mourn the death of their son, their daughter. Many wives mourn the death of their husbands, or perhaps husbands mourn the death of their wife. But you know what? Their name is not just a name that is on a wall somewhere. It is emblazoned for all eternity, for Jesus talked about those who would lay down their lives for their friends. There are many who are grieving today or mourning because of the loss of loved ones. It seems every week we hear of a soldier somewhere dying for the great cause of freedom. In Washington, D.C., there lies that tomb of the unknown soldier to signify those who will never, ever be found, but will always be remembered. In Arlington National Cemetery, several years ago, we had the opportunity to go there and to look upon that great cemetery there and to be reminded of all of those that are incarcerated there and those who have given so much. And so it is a time for us to remember. We still believe that America is a nation that is held together by Christian values that have made us what we are today, the land of the free and the home of the brave. So I want to talk to you a little bit this morning. The Bible says in Proverbs 13 and verse 13, "He who despises the word brings destruction on himself, but he who respects the commandment will be rewarded." That is the basis for freedom in any nation around our world. So today we pay tribute not only to those who have given their lives in death, but also to the living. I want you to think with me, first of all, this morning about our founding fathers. You know, those brave framers of the Constitution of America were truly brave men. When they came to America, they understood that it was only God who could preserve this great freedom. And in Psalms 33 and verse 12, the scripture says, "Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, and the people whom he has chosen for his own inheritance." We have to believe today that America is a nation that has been chosen by our Almighty God. When I think, however, about those early fathers of our nation, I'm reminded of all the sacrifices that they made. Do you realize that many, even back there, gave their lives? They died for the establishment of America, that we might be the nation that we are today. They did sacrifice much. And in the book of Psalms, chapter 9 and verse 17, the Bible says that the wicked shall be turned into hell and all the nations that forget God. And you know what? You can go back and trace it in the annals of history, and you will discover that only those nations that really, really will survive and have survived. And by the way, there is no nation who has survived as long as America, and that is because we uphold those commandments of God, and we believe that they are divine. The framers' faith was based and founded upon the truth of God's eternal word. They understood the meaning of Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6. It says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek after him. Psalm 66 and verse 7 says, he ruleth by his power forever, and his eyes behold the nation. Sometimes in our life we get to thinking maybe God is oblivious to what is going on, and perhaps in North Korea or South Korea or Afghanistan or Iraq or Iran or even in America. We believe sometimes that maybe God just isn't acutely aware of all that is taking place around the world. This passage says that he is. And it was true even when our nation was founded. They honored God. They recognized that God must be the center of our nation. They founded this great country. They gave us the great Constitution of the United States, and yet there are many who would try to eradicate it or burn it today or to do away with it, just like there are those who would like to take down the flag. There are those who would burn the flag. I don't know if it bothers you like it does me, but when I see some of these rogue nations burning the flag of the United States of America, it troubles me to my very spirit, because these are the two time-honored symbols of our freedom. And Abraham Lincoln once said, we the people are the rightful masters of both Congress and the courts, not to overthrow the Constitution, but to overthrow the men who would pervert the Constitution of the United States. Again, when I think about this great nation under the control of God, we the people, we are the people of God, and we are standing to uphold that Constitution. You see, the shaping of America continues. We're still shaping America. Even though America was founded by the founding fathers, we are still building and working to make this nation still the great nation. But we know that it has to come from our trust in our living God who is in heaven and his word. One has said in the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution, with a firm reliance on the protection of divine providence, we mutually pledge to each other our lives, our fortunes, and our sacred honor. And when I think about those men who have died in battle around the world, I think about this statement. That's what Memorial Day is really all about, isn't it? Ronald Reagan once said that freedom is never more than one generation away. I like this quote, from extinction. We didn't pass it to our children in the bloodstream. It must be fought for, protected, and handed on for them to do the same. You know, I don't know how much patriotism is taught in the public school anymore. I hope it is. I know one thing. We still believe in it here at the Crockett Road Church. We believe in patriotism and patriots and people who die for their country and die for the cause much, much greater than themselves. And I hope that we today will truly in our mind be ever so grateful for the lives that have been laid down for this great country. I want to talk to you also not only about the founding fathers, but about the defenders of our nation more especially. The secret to happiness is freedom, and the secret to freedom is courage. You know, when you think about Memorial Day, you have to think about courage. Courage is a quality that is lacking in many places in our lives today. It is true. We must be courageous people from the standpoint of our country, but we must be courageous people from the standpoint of our church. and our religious relationship with the Almighty. I think about all the branches of government who are fighting today. And as I heard someone say in Congress the other day, we have the strongest military around the world. And I'm thankful indeed for it. But I can tell you one thing, that military wouldn't be anything without a sovereign God who controls the affairs of men. For in the book of Romans chapter 5, verse 6 through 8, the Apostle Paul says, "For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet peradventure for a good man, some would even dare to die." Have you ever thought about what it would be like to grieve as a parent? Or maybe as a husband or a wife who had lost your soulmate in battle, dying for a cause called freedom. Many of those who defended our country gave their all for our freedom and the freedom around the world. When I think about freedom, I think about the freedom to even public assembly. Do you know that in many countries of the world, they do not even have the right to assemble in the name of Jehovah God and worship Him as you and I are doing here this morning? And listen, I thank God for this opportunity, and may it ever be so in America. I think about those men, those young men who gave their lives, and how their families grieve. And not only their families, but their comrades who stood valiantly by them when they gave their own lives. We are told that we are to remember the dead. You see, death leaves a heartache that no one can heal, and love leaves a memory that no one can steal. That no one can steal. And Jesus said, if you will, in John the 15th chapter and verse 13, "Greater love hath no man than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends." May we ever, may we always, ever remember those who are left behind. When was the last time you even went to the grave of one who laid down his life for this country, or who has served in the U.S. military? Sometimes we never really think about those families. We read about them in the paper. We might even take time to read the obituary. But do we really thank God for all those men every day who have served so well? But let me talk to you about one other thing this morning, and that is the defenders of our faith. You know, through the years, the Crockett Road congregation has had many defenders of the faith, and I thank God for them. I thank God for godly elders who have served this church through the years. Many of their names and pictures are hanging on the wall there in that foyer. They represent tireless years and nights and days and weeks and months of serving the Lord's church here. I think of so many who have died but were ardent workers in the kingdom of God here defending the faith. And oh, how the faith needs to be defended today. The Apostle Paul said one time, "I am set for the defense of the gospel of Jesus Christ." Let me tell you why that's so important. There are the cynics who will hurl their critical words about the church and about God and about the Lord that we all love. And don't you think it's time that we stand up and defend those? Someone said that God only had one son, and He made a preacher out of him. I thank God that He chose me to be a preacher of the Word of God. I will always be grateful. I'm thankful that through the years I have been able to preach that unadulterated word of Almighty God and the love that He has for all humankind, and I will forever be defending the faith. When Paul wrote to a young minister by the name of Timothy in 2 Timothy 4, verse 2 through 4, he gave them this challenge: "Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season. reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering, he says, and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the hearing of the truth, and they shall be turned unto fables. We hear that cry so often today. You know, we just need a new message for a new world. No, we don't need a new message. We need to get back to the message of God that was given for all time. And Jesus said in Matthew 24 and 35 that heaven and earth will pass away, but my word will not pass away. It will live forever. The grass may wither and the flower may fade, but the word of the Lord abides forever. It gives entrance and delight. Psalms 119 said, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light unto my pathway. Verse 105 of Psalm 119. We need to get back to teaching and preaching the word of God and leaving off the nonsense that is taking place in the religious world today in many places. We need to start preaching that word of God again. But I'm going to tell you why. Because it is the gospel that saves men. It isn't the teaching of men. It isn't even a strong military, and even though it's important that we have a strong military, but it's the gospel of Jesus Christ that saves. Thank God for those who preach it. Thank God for those who teach it, and they who uphold the righteousness of God. Don't be afraid to stand up for truth. I have encouraged this congregation through the years to do just that. Don't be afraid to stand up for what you know to be right, even if it means that you will stand alone. Do you know one time in the Holy Scriptures when the Apostle Paul was writing under Timothy, he reminded Timothy that one time when he was standing in court that he stood alone. And he said, no man stood with me. But Proverbs 14 and verse 34 says that righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. The thing that will exalt this nation around the world and other places, I'm going to tell you something, is the righteousness of this nation. When we fail to be the righteousness of God, we will become the laughingstock of every other nation. For Proverbs 10 and verse 7 says that the memory of the righteous is a blessing. And it is, isn't it? But you know, when you think about those who have died for our country, surely we ought to think about those who are living even now serving this country. We ought to be reminded every day of those who are still alive, and our prayers ought to be going up to God in their behalf. God, please bless our U.S. military and keep them safe. Father, continue to bless them. For in Mark the 14th chapter, verse 3 through 9, Jesus teaches that we ought to be remembering the living. The Bible says, and being in Bethany in the house of Simon the leper, as he sat at meat, there came a woman having an alabaster box of ointment of spikenard, very precious, and she came and brake the box and poured it on his head. And there were some that had indignation within themselves and said, why was this waste of ointment made? For it might have been sold for more than 300 pence and have been given to the poor. And they murmured against her. And Jesus said, let her alone. Why trouble ye her? She hath wrought a good work on me. For you have the poor with you always, he says. And whosoever, whensoever ye will, ye may do them good. But me you have not always. She hath done what she could, Jesus said. She has come aforehand to anoint my body to the burying. And verily I say unto you, Christ said, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached throughout the whole world, this also that she hath done shall be spoken of for a memorial of her. Think about that. Of all the things that Jesus could say, he would say the thing that should be spoken of is this act of kindness and love, and it should be remembered. And when I think about people who have given so much, how can we forget? We ought to be breaking the alabaster box every day. We ought to be involved in the ministry of breaking alabaster boxes of kindness on the world around us. For someone has well said, it is better to give roses to the living instead of waiting for them to die. But many wait until it's too late for others to know how much you cared. Isn't that true? I can't help but think about these young men and women that died in foreign fields. Surely the thought maybe crossed their mind at some point, I wonder if America really appreciates what we're doing. I wonder if they really have an admiration for the sacrifices that we're making when they shed their blood on those foreign fields and were interred even there. Someone said, send me all your roses now, we're pink or white or red. I'd rather have one blossom now than a truckload when I'm dead. What prompted Mary to do what she did? What prompts men and women to go into foreign fields and fight battles that result in freedom here in America and around the world? You know what it is? I can tell you what it is. It was the same thing that Mary had for Jesus. It was the love that she had in her heart and the forgiveness that he offered to her as he offers unto us. And I'll tell you freely, here at the Crockett Road Congregation, we have a memorial service every Sunday. We have had the opportunity already to participate in a memorial service by the opportunity of partaking of the Lord's Supper. And like that first century church, it has been a part of our worship service when we meet. The Lord's Supper, how important it is. Sometimes we don't even take that to heart. Sometimes we just take the emblems and we never really give a lot of thought to our Savior dying on a cross. But Jesus says, do this in remembrance of me. In the book of Jeremiah 18 and verse 8, the prophet said, if that nation against whom I have pronounced turn from their evil, I will repent of the evil that I thought to do unto them. Well, we're all familiar with the book of 2 Chronicles 7 and verse 14 that says, if my people will humble themselves and turn from their wicked ways, I will forgive their sin and heal their land. They tell us we need less prayer and more action. They tell us that guns and bullets, why, they're the problem. But before they told us that, they told us a lot of things. They told us that we were not made in the likeness of Almighty God, but rather we were some kind of cosmic accident that occurred. We are a protoplasmic happenstance that resembles the image of a primate more than that of God. They told us that we could pray in the name of Jesus, and then they told us we could not pray in His name at our sporting events, our schools, or at our gatherings. They told us that His word isn't welcome anymore in government and at our courthouse. They told us that Christianity was the problem and that religion is divisive. They told us that they knew better, and we would be safe. I don't know about you, but I think they have lost the right to tell me anymore. It's time we tell them a few things. They have stripped the hope from our eternal dwelling place and the forgiveness that was bought with blood and the grace of a loving Savior and the power of His Holy Spirit. They've replaced it all with a meaningless existence that happened by chance and ends in a dark nothingness. It's no wonder that evil spirits crept in to fill the gap. Well, this isn't just any state, the state of Texas, and this won't be just any response. This is Texas, the land of the free and the home of the brave. Literally, we won't march to the beat of their drum. We won't acquiesce to your Hollywood influence, of your entertainment funding. We won't be coaxed into a political and ultimately meaningless protest to bolster your agenda. Not when faith is an option. Camera-worthy walkouts and permanent marker-stained poster boards won't be our legacy. You want action? Keep watching. Prayer is our action. It's one of the ultimate acts of humility and faith that human beings can participate in. We pray as a response. It's not a shield. It's a blanket. It's not for protection. It's for comfort and our hope for change. We all know, and we have all said, that most politicians are liars. And we know that government is run by politicians. Yet when times get tough and even downright dangerous, and we need something to change, they tell us to run to the government for help. God has never lied, ever. I elect to turn to Him. We won't use our feet to march for our lives. God bless those that have been wounded and their families who have given so much and have died at the hands of terrorists around the world. But we will use our feet to march to the house of God, to break bread together, to cry, and to laugh with our neighbors, and yes, to even pray. You see, we are about action too. But whereas your prerogative is to urge politicians to do something, ours is to urge our God in heaven. And friend, when enough people turn to Him and provide Him with able hands, feet, and mouths with which to do His will, you will see real action. We will pray until He moves this state, this town, even of Palestine, and we will never be the same. If everyone in this nation would follow suit, America would be a better place. It would. It would be a great place. The problem in our country today is not with guns and bullets, but with hearts and minds. Only God can change that. So you march for your lives, and we wish you all the success, but we will pray for ours. For this is holy faith. They were wrong. We have always been the children of God. We have always been made in His image. We were not an accident. We were created with a purpose, and we will inherit the everlasting promise. Our state is strong, and we will turn to God when evil strikes. We will turn to guns only when necessary. But our faith is in God, and that's why we pray. We will only turn to guns to protect our citizens. We will. That's what we believe in here. So if you're visiting with us, y'all come back now, you hear? That's what we are about. You know, God never ever drafted anyone into Christian service. He didn't. He appeals to us to become Christians and to follow His will. But it's up to us to make that choice to honor Him, to believe the gospel and obey it in baptism and then be inducted in the kingdom of God. May we appreciate the blessings of this great country because of those who have given so much. But the great country that has been provided for us by a loving and eternal God. Surely we want to show our respect to Him by humbling ourselves and doing His will. If you're here this morning and you're not a Christian, I can tell you the greatest power that is available to you this morning is the power of God Almighty. And if you've never come to believe in Him, I hope you'll choose to do that today. And I hope that you'll choose to repent of your sins and honor Him by confessing His name before this audience here and by being immersed in water baptism for the forgiveness of your sins and then raised to walk in the new life that only Jesus can give. And someday, if need be, that we through our great love will lay down our life for our God. Let us stand and let us sing.